with some gladness too. We are sad because the association we have had with one another as members of the Western District is going to cease. This association which we have had in closeness with one another as members of the same district is changed to one that brings us together as members of two districts, perhaps only on rare occasions, as, for example, on the occasion of the convention of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. While sadness fills our heart, there is gladness present too, because we remember that the division of the district has taken place so that we might glorify the name of God more, and that we might have a more effective outreach to the people who need to learn to know that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. We are of course cognizant of the fact that the Lord Jesus is with us wherever we go. He stands side by side in our activities in the world as members of one district is not the greatest and most important thing. The most important thing is that we stand together side by side in the service of the Lord Jesus under circumstances where this is most effective and most conducive to an outreach to the people who need to learn to know the gospel. In order that we might reach out better personally and through others, we have come to the point where we say farewell to one another as members of one district and greet one another as brethren of sister districts in the Godless Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And we do this with all confidence. And as we do it because the text would indicate that our constant hope rests upon a gracious God. Last Monday night, I had the privilege of speaking to this convention on the basis of another word of God from this letter of St. Peter, a word of God that gave assurance, strength, and a building up of the faith, because it promised wonderful things and brought the climax to an anxious search for the answer to the question, are we God's people? And God said to his inspired apostle, you are royal, chosen, holy, superior. The apostle Peter at this moment speaks to this same group and speaks in a very wonderful way as he addresses himself to the people who, much like the early Christians, are treading, perhaps anxiously, for the new situation and anxiously ask the question, is this right? The answer of anyone should be that whatsoever God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, moves us to do is right. We pray, we work, we plan, we concluded, but never without a prayer to God to send His Holy Spirit to us to guide us every step of the way. This is the Spirit who has turned us to God, who has sanctified us. He did this for us who are the elect of God, whom the Father chose, and who could be chosen because of the outpouring of the blood of Jesus Christ, in which blood we have grace and peace and mercy and the love of God. We stand ready this day then to praise God for all the wonderful things He has done for us. According to His abundant mercy, He has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All that we are and all that we hope to be rest in Him who lived for us, who died for us and was raised so that we might have the assurance that God is our Father and that we are His children. God has called us and has turned us unto this wonderful situation to give us an incorruptible inheritance, one that is undefiled, one that doesn't fade away, one that is reserved for us in heaven. You see, all that we do must be done in the light of that which God teaches us concerning the great day, when all of us will be called before the throne of God to give an account of our deeds and our works. Furthermore, our service and work before God is pleasing to Him because He has changed us by the power of the Spirit and has made us His heirs. salvation. We had nothing to do with our redemption, and we by nature could not and would not follow the word of the Lord, have been called by God. We've been selected by Him. We've been nurtured by Him. We've been turned by Him. We have become His own through His power, and we are going to be kept His own through the power of the Holy Spirit, who creates and strengthens faith and sustains it in the hours of deepest trial, who, though we often do not know what to pray for as we ought, will utter groanings that are more eloquent than any words we can speak. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. With the Apostle Peter, we should rejoice greatly. We should rejoice even in times of trial, tribulation, temptations, and hardship. Our trials are not to be compared with those trials endured by the people who had fled to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Our trials and tribulations are frequently self-made. I know the old evil poet tells us, and it means everything that he knows to you, from threats to allurements, to power, to weakness, to poverty, to whatever it might be. The devil would lead us away, but we are kept safely by the power of God. For this reason, we should rejoice greatly. We rejoice greatly also in the new relationship we have to one another. No longer members of one district, as stated before, we are now members of two districts. We rejoice in this because it is a manifestation of the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Our new arrangement may call for more work, or even create some hardships in cases here and there for a time, but we will meet this with joy and happiness. Speaking of happiness, there is really so little of it today. It is true that not many people are really joyful. They anticipated that with the oncoming of wealth, they would be in a happy and a perpetually happy state. The oncoming of wealth created more problems, sorrow, trial, more problems than poverty ever could have done. In the midst of all of our blessings, both temporal and spiritual, so many lose the great joy that ought to fill our lives, the lives of all of us. Let us greatly rejoice in this, that we are the saved of the Lord, the redeemed of the Lord, and that we have become His own. If we could experience trials or hardships, we can triumphantly overcome them in the knowledge that God is with us. We rejoice if we realize that all of our experience must be unto the praise and honor and glory of the Lord Jesus, who in His own day will appear and will demonstrate that it was more blessed for us to endure trials and to believe than to seek after the things of the world, which have in their way shown you sorrows, trials, and troubles. The world wonders how we can be confident and sure. The world wonders because the world cannot see what we have, but neither can we. We have not seen the Lord Jesus in our lifetime. We have not seen the Lord Jesus appear, as far as we know, in any form before us. But though we have not seen Him, we love Him. Though we have not seen Him, yet we believe in Him. Though we are often full of tribulations, we rejoice with unspeakable joy at the knowledge that we are the Lord and that the Lord is ours. Let us then rely upon Him who has chosen us, sanctified us, redeemed us, sustained our faith, and deemed us worthy to be His disciples and apostles. Let us rely upon Him for all that He would give us in the years that lie ahead. Let us seek to get the word out to the people round about us and to the people all over the world. This will glorify the name of the Lord, and this will mean the achievement of the objective which we set before us as we decided to do. Let us arise and confess our faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed.